This is all your prayers this afternoon. I would like to just that we share some scripture together this evening. Because as I've started with a desire, I want to not just make heaven myself, but I would like to be a help to someone else to be able to make it. So as we reach out to those around us with that desire, I made to realize some things. You know, the devil knows scripture. He uses scripture. He is willing for people to be lost with scripture. And we're told in 2 Timothy, if we're going to go out and try to reach others and help others make heaven, 2 Timothy 2 and 15 gives us some instruction. Starts out with the very first word of the 15th verse, says study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm interested in myself, first of all, and all of us, to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. Because I'm finding throughout the Bible, you can take one scripture and just about do whatever you want to do with it. And the devil knows that. He was willing to use it on Jesus. You remember? The 4th chapter of Matthew says, first verse, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And down in the 5th verse says, the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. The devil himself used scripture. He said it's written, and he gave it word by word like it was written. But then Jesus came right back again, and this is where it's going to be real important for us as we have a desire to reach out to help others. Jesus said unto him, it is written again. Yes, you did use a scripture there that is in the Bible, but you're going to have to rightly divide it, because over here it's written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. What got me started with this was one day I was at work, went to a parts supplier, and I was waiting for him to bring my things to the counter. I looked on the counter and there was a little tract, and the title of it caught my eye. It says, where will you spend eternity? And I thought, that is a good thing for people to start stirring their minds to think about. Where will I spend eternity? So I took the little tract with me and I read it later. And here's some of the things that was in it. All are sinners, doomed to be lost. We sin many times a day in our words, in our thoughts, and in our actions. Is that true? To some it's true. And you know, you can take a verse, Romans 3 and 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're dealing with a religious nation today that says, I'm a Christian. Yeah. You know, we've come up on a time where there's very few people who will tell you, I'm not a Christian. I have some kind of a belief, and I believe Christ will take me in the end. What I'd like today is for us to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. That as we go along, if you think of a scripture, I'd like for you to give it. Because we're going to need it as we're reaching out with a desire to help others to make heaven their home. So as I was reading this, I started sensing something. This is not a message of hope. This is not showing you at a place where Christ takes over and makes a change in your life. But instead, we're going to continue in our sins. We only need something that will make us acceptable before God. Christ is the one that can do it. And is that true? Yes, that's true. So make a decision for Christ. Is it true that Christ does make us acceptable? Yes, he does. And I thought about the type, to me, of Moses when the Lord told him, today, you let the people know to kill a lamb, take the blood, and put it on the doorpost. That's going to be your salvation. But there was something else that went along with that that sometimes as I would read that story, I would overlook it. It said, you put it on the doorpost and do not come out of the house. You stay behind that blood of your protection. Should you later on in the evening say, it's 9 o'clock now and I forgot something from down at the market, I'm going to make a run down there to get it, that blood will be of no avail to you if you're not behind the blood. This is where we are today. Yes, it is the blood of Christ that will save us. But there's one more step. I must stay behind the blood. There are some songs that we sing. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I must remember that as I'm going along with my profession of Christianity. I must remember it's the blood of Christ that's going to take me there. Another song, Rock of Ages, says, not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. I've got to always remember that. The verse that says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and I don't have the love of God, it'll profit me nothing. So then I look at the verse that says, Ephesians 2:8, it's by grace that you're saved, through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift. It's a gift that's handed out. Those are all true. So then some steps were listed in this pamphlet. Okay, I said acknowledge that you're a sinner, and that does need to be done. Ask forgiveness for sins. That does need to be done. And then believe on Christ, and you'll be saved. I would like for us for just a little bit today to think about what's involved in believing. Because there are a lot of people today that see the word believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as nothing more than a head knowledge. Just, okay, I said the words that I believe, and that should take care of it. Does the Bible teach us that believing will save us? The most popular verse in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That verse says there's one thing that's needed. Believe in him, and you'll be saved. Can you think of another verse that it would seem like, as we're studying, there's really not much involved here. I only need to believe. And that's, Christianity today is living a lot off of that realm. I believe. It hasn't changed my life. I continue living the same way. I met someone just a few days ago, and I thought, surely there's a place where we say, I'm no longer a Christian. But he said, when I asked him, are you a Christian? You know, that has become just a question asked that is so simply answered. And he said, oh, yes. He said, when I was 4 years old, I invited Christ to come into my life. And you know, there's a starting, so much of this is true, there's a starting point for every one of us. And it's a simple step, is for me to tell Christ, I am sorry for the life I've lived. I ask you to forgive the sins that I have committed. That's very important. But it goes a step farther than that. It goes deeper than that. When the jailer in Acts, and why I would like for us to look at this is because we're going to meet these scriptures. Because this makes it seem so simple. Acts 16:30. There wasn't a long list given to him when the jailer came to him. 16:30, he said, and they brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. If we take these scriptures, remember where Jesus said, but also, it's also written, there's something that goes along with this believing. We will find that it's something more than just a head knowledge. Amen. It's going to go down into the heart. There are other scriptures that seems to be so simple. Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yeah.
That's in the scripture. And yet we find that as I call on the Lord, things start changing.
Amen.
So we've got another scripture for me. 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you.
Yeah.
With meekness and fear. So I need, as I'm studying, and I come to these scriptures where it seems like to the jailer, all he needed to do was say, okay, I believe. And that would have been it for life. And yet we find that there's so much more to it. In Romans, I'd like to look at another verse in Romans 10 and the 9th verse. Because believing is going to be very important. And as we go out and we work with those that are out in the world that say, I'm a believer, that we be able to rightly divide the word of truth.
Amen.
Romans 10 and 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Again, it seems like a head knowledge is all you need to be able to make heaven. And there's a lot of people that's making no change in their life. It's just I'm saying the words, yes, I do believe. But now it goes down in this one. The 10th verse says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I was looking in the commentary because now this is more than just my mouth saying it. It says with the heart man believes. And it says in the commentary, it's impossible that there should be true belief in the heart of a man unless it shows itself in the life and conduct.
Amen.
This is the test of its existence and its power. Yes, I believe. And now because I believe, things start happening in my life. Things start changing of who I am. This morning we heard the scripture about faith, how much we're going to need it. I'd like to look at that again in Hebrews in the 11th chapter. Because
yeah.
It says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I've got to have faith to believe. It's going to take more than that.
Yeah.
Because do you remember the scripture? It's in James,
yeah.
The 2nd chapter.
Yeah.
There are some other people, there are some others that have faith, and it'll do them no good. James, the 2nd chapter, and in the 19th verse, thou believest, here's somebody that believest, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. There, now see, we start moving into something more than just my mouth saying, I believe. Now the heart starts becoming involved. Here it says the devils also believed and trembled. And then the next verses on down. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works, it's dead. So now my believing is really something, the kind that is acceptable, the kind that John 3:16 is talking about, is something that is more than just what my mouth says. It is that I've received it in, I have taken it down inside, and now it's producing some fruit. I think about the verse where it says that the owner of the vineyard came by, and he said, you know, I've been coming by for 3 years now, and I've found no fruit on this. Cut it down. And the worker there said, I tell you what, would you give me one more year to dig about it, to let it produce fruit? And then if it won't, let it be cut down. Well, that's where we are today. God is looking for fruit that comes from my belief. The believing that I did in John 3:16, I'd maybe said it with my mouth, but it's got to go on down deep inside and start producing some fruit that's acceptable. Faith without works, it's dead. Yes, for Abraham to have believed. And you know, that believing, cause something to happen. Those people that are seeking another country, they say, "I'm a pilgrim and a stranger." They do something more than just say it with their mouth. They show it by the conduct of their life every year. I look at Pilgrim's Progress. I'm fascinated with that story. When I see that the trip that they had to go, the route that they had to follow, took them through Vanity Fair. It was not that they got to dreaming about what the world could offer them, so they said, "We're going to turn off the path for a little while and enjoy some of it." No, the path that they took to the celestial city went right through Vanity Fair. All the sights and the sounds and the smells were there, bidding them to stop and stay here a while. But they kept their eyes on the goal. They had more than just, "I believe," but here's some works from that believing. And back at the very beginning of this, Matthew, in the third chapter, when John was preaching to him, he had some instruction in the second verse. First verse says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" And it goes on down in the eighth verse. He says, "Bring forth therefore meats," fruits, "meat for repentance." And in the commentary I was reading that, it says, "Bring the proper evidence that you're sincere about living for the Lord. Don't carry hypocrisy into your profession. Repentance, show your sincerity by forsaking sin." And there is a verse that I'd like for us to add into this today. It's found in Proverbs 28 and 13. It says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy." This is something that part of my believing is, I believe that John 3:16, part of this believing causes me to start forsaking some things. Where John came to him and said, "Okay, I want you to start bringing some fruit, meat for repentance." I'm desiring to believe not just from my head knowledge, but down from the heart. And those things that I know that God wants me to cut loose from, I do that. That's part of my believing. So where the jailer is saying, "What must I do to be saved?" Believing is a part of it. But now there are some, and I would like for us just for a few minutes to take a look. There's places throughout the Bible that just like where Jesus was saying, "Yes, that's true, that scripture's there." But here's another that goes right along with it. It is also written throughout the Bible. We can take these scriptures that we've looked at, that all I need to do is believe. I've met people that their life, they'll admit to you, "My life has not changed, but I ask God to forgive it. I do it again tomorrow, but I ask him to forgive it. And I expect to be acceptable because I believe on Christ." It's going to require something deeper than that. Christ is the only way. I've got to remember that, because you know what? The devil would like to swing me over to where, you remember in the New Testament, there were the Jews that felt like, "My works will be acceptable. That's what's going to get me to heaven." And along comes Paul talking to them that, "Now, wait a minute, folks. Jesus has come now. That's why he had to tell them, it's by grace that you're saved. It's not by works." So folks, even me, us, need to remember, my works won't save me. My works needs to be evidence of the strong desire I have to please Lord and to let him know, "Lord, I believe on you." And that believing is causing some change to come about in my life. As we're working with the world, we've got to somehow be able to portray this to them. Because I find that for myself, when I ask, "Are you a Christian?" and they say, "Yes, I am," to stop there. But somehow that the Lord would help us to be able to go some steps further. And I realize our knowledge, to whom much is given, much will be required. Folks out in the world won't be required the same level that I am on. The verse that says, "He that winneth souls is wise." Lord, give us wisdom to be able to know how to hand out to others in a way, showing the mercy of the Lord, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And yet, for me to make heaven my home, it's going to take something more than just a mouth confession that I believe in Christ. It will have to take some change. 2 Corinthians 7 and 10, where it said, "Godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of." Kind of think of that. Whenever I have a real godly sorrow and I repent of something, I don't go back tomorrow quickly and say I'm going to do that again and repent of it. A godly sorrow will cause me to forsake that. I'd like to go to another verse in Psalms 119. And 9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." Think of another verse that says, "Thy word, O Lord, have I hid my heart, that I might not sin against thee." How's a man going to cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. That's why it's going to be real important for each of us to study, to search. I was thinking of the Bereans, where it said that they would go to service, they would hear what was taught, what was preached, but said they would go back home and they would start searching to see if those things that were said were so. We need to, each one of us, do some serious searching, some serious studying, because we're in a time now where I'm surprised at how few people there are that don't claim to be saved. Everyone is saved anymore, it seems. How do we live before them? How can I be an example to them that in some way I'll be able to show them it's going to take more than just a confession with my mouth, but that it's got to go down into the heart and start flowing out from there? In 1 John 3 and 3, because you know when we talk to people about heaven, everybody has a hope of heaven also, plan to make it there. And this starts to talk about in 1 John 3 and 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Second verse, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." A hope that I have of making heaven my home one day. Can it be reached with just a confession by my mouth that I believe in Christ? The devils also believe and tremble. This next verse, "Every man that hath this hope," when I say I plan to make heaven my home, "every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Can I do it on my own? No. Works that are done on my own won't be acceptable. But I tell you, through Christ, when I believe on him, and then I say, "I want to show my love to you," what can I do to live for you better? 2 Corinthians 5 and 14, "It's the love of Christ that constraineth me." That desire I have to live for him is what causes me to say, "Lord, I tell you what, anything that would displease you, if you'll just show it to me, I'll do it." It's not that, okay, this church is just so strict. I tell you, I've been thinking lately, what chance are you willing to take of whether you make heaven or not? Would you be willing to take a quarter and flip it? Heads is heaven, tails is hell. Folks, we're living in a casino mindset in the United States. I'm willing to throw a little money at it and see what I get. And you know, if we're not careful, this world, and it can happen to me too, I'm willing to throw out a little bit at religion and see if it'll stick enough for me to make heaven my home in the end. It's going to take something deeper than flipping a quarter for it, and that gives me a 50-50 chance of making it. I'm going to have to do some purifying myself, even as he is pure. And that purifying needs to be done because I have the love of Christ in my heart. And that compels me. It constrains me. Lord, I want to please you in every way. In Colossians, in the third chapter, And you may know of other places, but that third chapter of Colossians has some instruction for us. After I have made that confession with my mouth, it says, if third chapter and first verse of Colossians, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Now I start going deeper than just I said it with my mouth and that should do it. If you have been, if it has happened, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection. See, those are things for me to do. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. In the fifth verse, it gives us some more instruction. Mortify. You do something. It's something for me to do. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth. And it goes through a list of things that the Christian world says can continue in your life, and you still make heaven your home. Sixth verse says, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the seventh verse, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But we're talking in the past tense. There's been a change happen. Eighth verse says, but now ye also put off all these. When I have made a confession that I am now the Lord's, I start laying aside some things that will displease him. Ye have put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Tenth verse, see, these are things that I'm doing, but I'm not doing it on my own. It's through Christ. Think of the verse that says, without me, ye can do nothing. And then the verse that says, but through Christ, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He is able to help us. Tenth verse, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that is created him. The verse that says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. There is an evidence that will come from my life. And Lord, help me to be able to show that out to the world. That is something deeper than just, I believe in Christ. I believe one day I'm going to make heaven. Yes, I'm not living like I should. It's true, I'm doing things that I know are wrong, but I ask him to forgive me. I'm going to have to mortify some things that I know that the Lord would be displeased with. In James, in the fourth chapter, and in the seventh verse, it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And here again, it gives some things in my category. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Amen. Tenth verse, humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. There's another verse in 1 John 5 and 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself.
Amen.
Here is something more for me to do. He keepeth himself. And that wicked one toucheth him not. Thinking of the verse of that song, how safe is the soul that abides in the Lord. In 2012, when it seemed like there's just a whole lot churning in our world today, there's a place. I think of the verse that says where God said, there's a place by me, just right up next to him.
Yes.
How safe is the soul that abides in the Lord, securely from sin hid away. His anchor is the promise of God's written word to keep him by night and by day. I am so thankful that in the world we live in today, there is still a place for us to walk with the Lord. It doesn't matter how many in the religious world say it can be done so much easier. I want to go back to the word because at the end, it's going to be opened up and I'll be judged by it. One more verse, 2 Timothy 1 and 12. I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So that if years ago I said, Lord, I want to live for you. I want to please you. I want to make heaven my home. I know on whom I have believed. That believing is something more than just I spoke it one day and I hope to make heaven off of that. I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. How does he do that? By coming to me in these kind of meetings and saying, Dan, there's this area that I want you to work on. I want you to make changes here. He is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So I am thankful that as we say, yes, I do believe, it goes to a level deeper than the devils also believe and tremble. But that believing started to produce some fruit in my life. I desire your prayers.